on Lunch Hour, talking about what you want to be talking about. Light Fare,
with a serious spin, whether it be sports, faith, parenting,
balance, relationships, education, community, coaching,
starting over, how do you reboot yourself,
ministry, relevant, resonant, and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in, ask us questions, be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM, WOL.
Noon to 1.
Well, I'm excited today. We have a phenomenal guest who's going to join us today, Pamela McGee, who is the inspiration, I imagine, behind Mom's Got Game on OWN Network. And what I like about this show, Jackie, it really kind of gets into the core values of what our homes are like on a normal basis. This is the norm, not the abnorm. And it's so positive and so value inspired. We're going to just welcome Pam right on. Hi, Pam. How are you?
Oh, I love your guys' opening. You guys get it. Oh, my God. Very few people get it. Your mama raised you right.
Exactly. Hello. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know what you just explained to me?
What?
It's called home training.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm not a big pop culture junkie or reality TV, but I have been on this show since January 18th at 10 p.m. every week. I'm like, I got
to
see
it. On the Oprah Winfrey Network.
On the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Definitely on the OWN Network.
Exactly.
And now you can get a double dose of Mom's Got Game Monday Marathons. Now they're playing
really
on Monday, so we're really excited about that.
Uh-oh.
That means you've done something wonderful by presenting your family in the light that you presented,
mm-hmm.
because it is definitely what we need to see on TV today. Families who have a lot going on, mm-hmm. but know how to keep it all in check, and a mama that's holding the reins.
That's right. That's right.
Well, and I think, you know, and this is what I had explained to them when we did the project. I said, you guys do know what my son signed for, right? He signed for $44 million contract. So I said, we don't have to do TV.
That's right.
Secondly,
that's
right. I said, you guys do know that you can Google me. I'm not one of those reality stars that's trying to, you know,
that's right.
come up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, you can Google me. But as what you guys have caught on to, I am somewhat disgruntled or disappointed. I know for me, I come from a strong line of strong black women.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about weak black women. I'm talking about strong black women.
That's right.
And not only that, I can only speak to what my experiences are as a black female.
Mm-hmm.
But my girls aren't catty. My girls aren't trying to tear me down. Mm-hmm. My girls aren't trying to spit venom on me. My girls have been there through the hardest times in my life just to say, whether I was going through a horrific divorce, whether I was surviving from breast cancer, whether my month was long and my money was short, my girls were saying, girl, hold on, it's going to be all right.
That's right.
Hold on, just a little bit longer, it's going to be all right, I got you.
And that's, go ahead, Jackie.
No, I was going to say that we're both all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you if you could speak for just a little bit about what it means to have girls in your corner who are there for you before the fame, middle fame, and after fame, because oftentimes that is not the case.
And I think if you watch the show, my son JaVale, he basically says that. He says, you know, when you become an NBA player, everybody wants to get on your bandwagon. Everybody wants to be your friend. He says, but all my boys have been in my life for
That's
a long
right.
time.
That's
they were
right.
here before, during, and they'll still be here after. So he says that.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, what's beautiful about our family, what's beautiful, and I hope people see in our show, Mom's Got Game, every Saturday on OWN.
At 10 p.m. At 10 p.m. Eastern time.
I hope you see that although my son is an NBA player, although my son signed a very lucrative contract, he still exercises a spirit of humility.
Yes.
He is still a very humble and thankful, and he operates in a spirit of gratitude, because I make sure that he understands that it's really not about him. It's not about me. I want him to always understand that his mother, my mother, who had twins at the age of 17, cleaned toilets for $1.25 an hour, mm-hmm. that all her children could go to the university and graduate. Every single one of her children who came from Flint, Michigan in the hood. My sister has a PhD. My other sister has a master's degree, but all of us are college educated. Mm-hmm. So I make sure he understands that somebody sacrificed, that somebody laid down and paid the price so that he can play in the NBA. My mother laid the bridge for me. I laid the bridge for him. Mm-hmm. So I always make sure, oh yeah, you got it, you know, you got your thing going on, but don't forget your grandmama was poor.
And that speaks to you, because you went overseas when he was 9 months old, and you created a life for both of you because you had to. And it speaks to your conviction as well, Pam. The job that our mothers do cannot be underestimated. And then the task that we have, or we should have in our communities, is to pass on the positive and the hard work of it all to get it done.
And also, with raising a man child, he would say, Mama, wow, I don't get it. You work so hard. I don't ever see, you just work so hard. Because some people would say, well, how are you going to go back over to Europe and play basketball with a 9-month-old? Because basically, I was the first person to ever have done it. Mm-hmm. But that's how I made my money. I was a professional athlete. So I said, okay, make it happen. And what ended up happening was I had to negotiate all my contracts to say, first, in order for me to play with the team, they had to pay for my nanny. Mm. Because unlike other women, I understand that my first ministry starts mm-hmm. with my children.
That's right.
Yes, if
ma'am.
I do not have children of destiny, if my fruit are not prosperous, then really I have not done my job as a mother. So my first priority has always been that man child that I gave birth to. I take that as, and especially when I knew I had a male child, an African American male child, it changed my life, because we would always have, we'd have like long discussions. I would say, okay, well, my friends are doing this. I say, okay, that's your friends, but you my son.
Mm-hmm.
And you will
exactly.
be a positive role model, and you will be a man of dignity and character and integrity.
That's
and I would
right.
always tell him that at the age of 2, and I would literally speak that into his life, and I would just keep reiterating it to him so that I wanted it would be in his spirit. Because one of the issues that raising African American males in the hood, and what we fight for as single mothers, no matter what we do and what we put in, you have to put in twice as much, is because of the images that we have in our communities and the images that we continue to tolerate. And that's what we're showing in our show. We don't have to accept those images.
Mm-hmm.
No, all men aren't sleeping with every woman in around. Every man got a buku women. No, some men honor their marriage and mm-hmm. honor their women.
That's right.
And take the role of father and husband seriously.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot continue to put out with all men. I mean, I've actually fired people on my staff because of the fact, when I put them into our community, I said, they said one person I had to fire from my AAU team, and he said, well, all men have extra women on the side.
Mm. No, they don't.
He said, you're just a scorned African-American female.
Ooh.
I said, okay, then. Well, I'm a scorned African-American female that signs your check.
That's right.
Right.
I refuse to put another image in the community that's not positive, so you no longer can work for me.
We all
have to maintain the integrity of our community.
And that's important,
and that's where,
because
it starts.
The standard.
Each one teach one.
Yeah, your standard of excellence that you set for your son speaks a volume. Because, and I like the way you phrase it, he's your man child.
That's right.
In the sense that you see him as a developing person. He's not your baby boy. He's not going to be a mama's boy. He's going to grow up and understand that there's a place for him in this world. And with all the gifts that he has, and then the talent that you've, given to him through his DNA and all of that, he's got to show that he respects and appreciates that, and that he's not to lay it to waste. And just the way you view him really speaks volume, because I know in other arenas that is not always the case. It's my son, my baby, my man. No, that's your son. And then there's this whole nother nuance of the mother-son relationship that creates a lot of other tension and problems, you know, for that child as he gets older.
No, I don't want you to think that I came out with this because the show actually serves that, you know, as a mother, we also have to release our sons to be men.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's hard, and you see this in the show. My mm-hmm. son has really been a staple, and I talk about this. It has been me and him against the world.
That's right.
But I also recognize he is not my man. He is not my lover. Mm-hmm. He is not my daddy. He is my son.
Mm-hmm. And it has to be that
sure
way.
That I respected those boundaries and made him understand those boundaries. But because he has been a staple in my life and we've traveled all across the world, he has been that. And the show depicts me trying to let him go emotionally, because mm-hmm. that's the hard part.
Right, right.
Because mm-hmm. he has been such a staple in my life. But and also, I want you to understand what type of mother I am, because my mother's black women by nature are nurturers. We are. That's how God created us. That's the beauty in being an African-American queen. We are nurturers. But in my nurturing, I also had to train myself to be also his father, because the father was absent in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to train myself. I had to sometimes deny my female self and my spiritual nurturing self, because I knew I would do him an injustice if I was not hard on him. And I'm going to share a little anecdote. One time he left his emails up, and we was living on the south side of Chicago. And I read his email, and his boy said, "Yeah, man, we getting ready to get into this." And he says, "Yo, man, I'm letting y'all know right now, I can't roll with y'all because y'all don't know my mama." He emailed this. He said, "Y'all don't know my mama. If we get caught up and go to jail, y'all don't know my mama. My mama going to leave me in jail.
Exactly.
Then, man, if by chance she get me out, she going to put a cross on me. No, man, I'm good."
And, you know, I think that sometimes that has to be the way it is, because there's so much at stake. I mean, I think almost every day, women who are raising sons forget how much is at stake. You are in definitely a realm of the NBA, the WNBA, and the fame and the fortune is there. So you have the women and the people, and even for you, the men trying to come at you for the wrong reasons. But even just with our young children trying to come up in the game, they got the young girls from middle school hanging on and the little girls from high school and the ones from college. And it creates this tension between mother and son. And I like the way you have that balance in your home, and it's depicted in the show that everybody knows their place, because you set the standard in the home of what that needs to look like. And that's a blessing.
And also, black women have always been the matriarch. I mean, when we look and I use this for me when I've gone through the hardest times in my life. I use this to always inspire me, to keep me focused, to keep me balanced. And, you know, and I try to explain this to my son. I said, "Son, no matter what I go through, I want you to understand you come from a legacy of strong black women. You are a product. I gave you life of strong black women. And sometimes life is going to throw you a curveball. And life as a black man in America is a fight." And I said, "I want you to understand that going out there, we as African-American women must expose our sons that the world, it's a fight." And so what I told him, I said, "But understand this, what I'm going to tell you as your mama who gave you life, is sometimes in life I may be down on my back and it will be an 8 count. And everybody in the arena says it's over." I said, "They can go count to 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. I said, "But on 6, JaVale, I want you to understand this. On number 6, when they go to 7, I'm going to hear my mama, Diane McGee, say, 'Get up, child. It ain't over. Get up.'"
That's right.
I said, "And then when they get to the 8 count, and they're almost about to say 8, I'm going to call on the sisters that came over the boat. And if I don't hear anything else, the Bible says there was a cloud of witnesses. And even when I was fighting for my life, I called on the women from the boat that sometimes would throw their children over the edge because they said, 'I don't want you to have this type of life.'"
That's right.
"But I call on the women who have fought for our families. And they say, 'Get up, child. It's going to be better. Get up, child.'"
Pam, hold on.
And
right
I get
there.
Up and I get back in and I fight.
Woo, hold on. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. This is Conversation. Join us at 1-800-450-7876 with Pam McGee. We're back on Conversation with Jackie and Karen with the Hall of Famer Warrior Mom, Pamela McGee.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, yes. She's a legacy-setting, record-breaking woman for sure. Now, you and your son have the very first mother-son
yes,
NBA history.
WNBA mom to actually have a son drafted in the NBA.
That is phenomenal.
History.
I mean, even after all of your record, I remember because, you know, you and your sister, Paul and Pam McGee, you know, we were sitting as, you know, teenagers, we're probably pretty close to the same age. And I'm sitting in front of the TV. I'm like, where these two come from?
Yes, yes.
You know, we're sitting there like, now, which one is that? You guys were phenomenal.
It's so real. I laugh at that. I'm like, wow, I was playing and I talked to all my guys who are now, you know, retired. And I said, can you believe now I have a son playing and I'm sitting on the sidelines? So it's just so surreal that he has been my sidekick and when I played. And one of the stories I tell and why he's such an astute businessman, whenever I had to change teams, he had to actually move schools and make new friends. So after I got a new job, whether it was a coaching job or whether it was being traded as a player, I would always have to say, he would say, okay, Mom, all right, so they're going to give you so much money. Are they giving you benefits yet? Are they going to pay for your housing? Yes, Javale. He says, mm-hmm, okay, that sounds like a good deal. I think you should take it. But then he would say, okay, now what do I get?
Yes, so I would say, okay, learned early on that I'm going to get a nanny. Yes.
Yeah, I say, can I throw in an X? I'll throw in an Xbox. I'll throw in one game. He'll say, okay, well, I'll take a an Xbox one game and a 10% increase on my allowance. And so I'll come back and I negotiate. I say, I think it would be more strategic for me if I give you an Xbox and two games. And he'd say, no, I think I'll take an Xbox one game and a 10% increase on my allowance, and then I can buy my own game.
And you know what I appreciate about, I'll never forget the All-Star game when you made your entrance down the steps when he was doing the slam dunk contest. I was like, this, own it, just own it. And you went up to Julius Erving. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
And so wait, this is funny too. So my daughter says, because I am 50, but my daughter calls me and she says, Ma, I'm not speaking to you again, ever again. I'm not speaking to you again. You have just embarrassed me totally. And I said, why, boo-boo? She says, well, Mom, I cannot believe you kissed Dr. J in the mouth. He is old. I was like, boo-boo, your mama just looked hella young.
Wow.
Dr. J is 50 and I am 50, and I would do Dr. J. Don't get it twisted.
I know, that's right. We have a caller. Mr. Lexi, how you doing? What do you want to say to Pam McGee?
I'm doing very well. Miss McGee, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Was it a couple of days ago, about 3 days ago, I was scrambling on the TV, and I look at this, the program that you have, and I say, wow, look at how she is raising this boy. I was very impressed. So I called my son and my daughter. I said, come here, have a seat. Take a look at her.
Thank you. And we really think it is that type of programming. We think it's like the Cosby Show. We think it's a modern-day Cosby Show.
Yeah. I mean,
and so we do. We really want all families. We think it's that type of show where we all can get in. And basically what you see and what I think people feel from the show is, you see my relationship with my son, the texting. I know you've experienced that with your kids.
Oh, yes. I got seven of them, so I know what you're doing. You know, I mean, I was very impressed, especially when you were telling him, when he says he wants to go a clothing line, you say, hey, son, you got to know who you're selling it to. You got to know. I like the way you approach it. You know, you say,
Who's your market? Who's your market? Thank
Who's
you.
Your market?
And what you see is what we have to do in our African-American communities is, not only am I his manager, but I have a vested interest. I am training him that one day when I step down and he stops playing basketball, not only will he be able to control his own money, he will be able to manage his own legacy. So what you see is, it's not just that I make decisions, I'm training him on why I make the decisions that I need to make. So that's basically why. Because it is.
I have to give it to you. I mean, it's a great show. I on like some other shows which I've accidentally looked at, which I don't watch TV that much, but I'm glad this day I was able to see you because I watched you when you were playing. I was impressed, but I didn't know you went overseas. So I said, wow, how come they just, you know, maybe they just changed, you know? And then when I saw you, I said, wow, look at her, man. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you
I'm glad. So,
your
make sure you tell all your family members and tell all your friends, because at the end of the day, it is still a business. So the networks have to know that you're listening and have to know that you're watching. So I tell everybody, make a comment on the website, because, you know, okay, one of the things that controls the television industry, why we do not have more shows like I have, is because of the Nielsen ratings. And I just try to explain to people, I don't know too many black folks that got those boxes in their house.
And you're right about that.
You're right. Thank you, Ms. Alexi.
I've already explained to all the networks, we have an entertainment company, I said, we're not allowing you to put boxes in our house because we think it's 5-0, we think it's the feds, we think it's child support.
We got a reason, don't we?
Always. Thank you, Mr. Lexi. We appreciate the call. But yeah, Pamela,
but if you hit the website and let people know that you enjoy the show and we need more programming like that, we have to make sure that we are proactive instead of retroactive. Let people know that you love the show. And that's really where we at. You have to make noise before they make decisions on second season and third season. We have to make noise. Not let it go off the air, then everybody's calling in, oh, we need the show. Why did the show go off the air? Be proactive and tell people this is what we need to see on TV.
Yeah, to pivot a little bit, Pam, one of the things that I really resonated with me, because we're in the same age group, is the whole SSS and and men not having swag. just you know, the date that you went on in with the gentleman you were playing toes something, you're playing pool with, and I was like, see, sometimes, I don't know if he's nervous, he's hesitant, but just to let a woman know that, you know, you can step to the plate. You don't have to, you know, run around, do cartwheels and flips or something like that, but at least know that there's an interest. Did you think that the pool hall was the most appropriate place to take you?
Okay, here we go. Now we got two elements here. Which hat am I wearing now? Am I wearing the successful sexy people hat, or am I wearing the businesswoman or the mama hat? Because my dating life is a whole nother Oprah show.
Exactly, exactly.
And what happens is, well, and I'm going to explain this to you. What's the beauty of the show, too, is, and I'm going to tell you, so the show is so it's so indicative of my life. One of the issues last year was a very strategic, powerful time in my life. I got inducted into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. I got my uniform retired at the University of Southern California that will go down in history. It's retired. My son signed his multi-million-dollar contract. I was instrumental in getting his contract complete. I opened up another company. I mean, and all my family members were there, and they were just so, oh, and then I got inducted into the Michigan Hall of Fame. I mean, it was just a very powerful year. My brother-in-law, my sister's husband, the one that's still, I told y'all, is the marriage coach from hell. Well, she's been married for almost 30 years, and so he said, after all of that, he went to every single event. He said, all right, Pam, now you need a man. And I was like, dude, I mean, really, I was just so flabbergasted, because it almost said, like, I was incomplete because I didn't have a man. And I'm explaining to people, I do have a date, and I do date men. I don't date little boys. I date men. But there is also a perception in the community, if you are a powerful female and you do not have a man, something's wrong with you.
Jackie?
For me, at the age of 50, who can still date men under 30, I can walk in any room, and men under 30 will still try to get my number.
Say that.
That is my reality.
Yeah, 50 is the new 30.
Hello? And I'm not adverse to dating men that are 30. I'm not one of those sisters. I am an equal opportunity dater. If you are a good person and I'm attracted to you and you got some swag, you can holler at a sister.
That's right.
and like you said, you have to have some sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are absolutely right.
And also, I have some, all of my girls who are in Successful are very affluent women. But I am not one of those sisters, so everybody can quote me on that. Because I got some sisters out there that be saying, oh, I don't need a man. Oh, no, I don't need a man. No, no, no. Well, them sisters, like, you know, in Waiting to Exhale, when right. Lord Loretta Devine says, girl, I ain't had a man in 13 years. I'm Angela Bassett. I'm like, no, 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 girlfriend, that ain't me. But so I do need a man. It is a biological, it is a natural desire, it is a natural feeling as an all, as a female that I need a man. I'm not going to put that out in the atmosphere. But the reality is I need a man. I don't deal with little boys trying to be men.
Mm. Preach.
That's the difference.
Preach. Yeah, and
I need a man to step to me like a grown ass man. Mm. Not a little boy trying to wear a man's shoes. Now, if you are a little boy, back in the day, I might have played with a little boy toy, but you knew you was a little boy dealing with a grown ass woman.
Hold that point. We're gonna take a break shortly on that one, but you're right on that. We're gonna take a break real quick.
We'll be right back.
And we'll be right back. We're back on Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We're on with Warrior Mom Pam McGee. Having grown women conversation.
Oh, yes. And I think we have to have grown women conversation because too often we sweep the real important things under the rug. And, you know, some stuff has to be said. If you're going to step to a woman of a certain age, you're going to have to step right.
That's right.
Exactly. And also be okay with if for a season I am by myself, I'm okay with that until my blessing or my significant other can come to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And because I understand that I'm a nurturer, but also at 50, I understand it is not my job. I tell men that I date, it is not my job to be your mom.
Right.
I am not raising another man. I raised a 26-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He has a job. He is self-sufficient. I am not raising my lover, my man. It's not happening, boo. I'm not your mother. You need to call your mama. That's not my skill set.
Amen, amen, amen. Now we'll pivot again.
Right. Well, you know, on that note, though, I do want to ask, because you've been very strategic about your personal life while you were raising a son. And I think that's important for a lot of women, especially single women raising boys, to understand why it's important to not have men in and out of your presence, in the presence of your son.
Okay, so now I can't speak for other women. Just for me and my house. When I was a single mother and I was raising a man child, I never ever exposed my son to the men that I was dating. That does not mean that I did not have intimate relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If I had intimate relationships and he could not afford a hotel, then he could not deal with Pamela McGee. Secondly, my philosophy, everybody quote that, that's Mama McGee philosophy.
Yes.
You can meet my son. We need to have a date set.
That's right.
You need to be my fiance. We need to be engaged. We need to have some permanent relationships, some permanent situations in place.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because in the African American community, and women, you need to understand this, if you learn anything from Mom's Got Game, men children look at their women and they are superimposed by images in the community that are detrimental to women. Strip clubs, those magazines with the video vixens. We call it the Sarah Bartman syndrome, meaning that their only identification with women is, you know, whether they're what they offer sexually and whatever. So those are their images.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're their mother, you need to maintain a sense of respect.
And decorum.
There are some things that
that's
I feel
right.
that my children should not be exposed to. And
exactly.
That's like, for me, that's in any kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same-sex relationships, any kind of relationship. There are certain things that I don't think my children need to know about me unless my relationships reflect a marital relationship. This is my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do whatever I want to do to my husband.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think that we should expose that kind of thing to our sons, because at one point you have so-and-so in the house, then we break up, then we got another so-and-so in the house, we break up, he moves in, he moves out.
you know, I'm just not into those kind of images in front of my son.
And,
but it's
and that's
out of
the
respect.
That's the beauty of the show itself. That it captures it, in my opinion, is because it's when you have so much of that in the face of our young people, when they're already, everything is instantaneous. You don't have to work at a relationship. You just move from pillar to post, pillar to post, pillar to post. And as a mother, as a person, as someone that has a level of decorum and respect about themselves and what they're supposed to instill in others, you cannot, that's the beauty of this show, is that you are showing not only the boundaries with respect to you and your son, and those that are around you in the village that you've put around him as well as yourself, but you're saying, these are my standards. And
there
we have to get back to a way of thinking where we have standards.
I need you to repeat that. No, I need you to repeat that.
We have standards.
You made a valid point.
We have standards. You put a village around yourself.
You know where standards come from?
That gets back to what we said, home training.
And the reason why you couldn't act a certain way, and you guys have your own radio show, you're educated because your mama said.
That's right.
We have standards. There's certain things that we don't do because you're my child.
That's right. You're held accountable. You know, there's a level of accountability that supersedes your peers, supersedes those who you think are the cool crowd. You know, because at the end of the day, you got to come home. And who's on the other side of that door that you should fear more than life itself?
And also, even at the age of 50, there are certain things that I say, oh, my mama would be rolling over in her grave. Rest in peace, mama. Mm-hmm. It's just certain things that I remember. I still hear her voice. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
I still hear that. My mother was the type of mother that could sit in the at church, I'm in the choir stand. She could discipline me from the pew.
That's right.
All it took was a look.
Hey, didn't say a word. I just got the look.
Mm-hmm.
And I was straightened up.
Mm-hmm. Without question. No. And there was no talking back. There was no There was none of that.
And there was no negotiation.
No.
I don't know where we got to the point we had to negotiate, and I'm still at that. Why do you have to negotiate with your child, and you pay for their phone, you give them food, water, shelter, and I'm going to negotiate?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. And JaVale will tell you, he got put out at the first time at 9 years old. Because at nine, he was starting to look at me eye to eye. And he just went off and said, oh, I'm a man. I said, okay, you a man. He raised his voice. 9 years old. I said, you a man. You got to get up out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you a man. And if you a man, you got to get out of my house. He says, well, I got to get out. I said, because if you a man and you talking to me like you a man and you disrespecting me, then you out of my house. He was 9 years old. I threw him out the house. So he was sitting on the porch. I said, excuse me, sir. This is my house and you're a man. So I lived like a mile from my mom. So he says, okay, I'm going over Granny house. My mother called him. I said, wait, here's Granny on the phone. You want to talk to her? My mother said, son, I don't understand. Where are you going? You coming over my house? She said, oh, no. You got me twisted. You can't come over here. He was like, Granny, why I can't come? She said, oh, no. You can't come here. You're a man. If you disrespect your mother, then you disrespected me. So he said, what I'm going to do, Granny? She said, you're a man. Figure it out. We don't know.
I love it. And, you know, and that's what it takes, real talk, real advice, sitting down and saying, hey, you've got your views, I've got my views, but right now you're really still a minor. You're going to have to play by the rules of the family, the rules by the household. And, you know, listening to you espouse this level of wisdom helps not only us, but our listeners understand the value that raising children, especially when they get to be a certain age, still require a parent. Even though you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 25, whatever your age, as long as your mama and daddy still living, you're going to respect the authority of that voice.
Mm-hmm.
That voice never gets out of your head, no matter how old you are. My parents are both deceased, and like you said, I can still hear their voice in my head when I think I want to do something stupid.
No.
You got to remember who your parent is, and that comes from, like we started at the beginning, some home training.
Basic.
Exactly.
Basic.
And at the end of the day, our goal as African-American parents is to raise men of destiny, men of character, and create. I'm a spiritual person, and when we look at African Americans coming out of poverty, coming out of slavery, we must also understand that we were a praying community. Mm. What kept my mother sane, what kept most of us sane, was we still had a strong impact in the black church. But unfortunately, we have a whole population. And some of the things that even when my mother was not around, my mother would always say something like, I may not be there. You can lie to me, but how dare you lie to the Holy Ghost?
There you go.
She says, the Holy Ghost is everywhere. So even if you're not in my presence, remember, God and the Holy Ghost is there. So sometimes with that spiritual foundation, there were some things that I just would not do because I would hear the voice of God. If not my mother, I heard the voice of God. And that kept me sane and kept me out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And also, and this is one of the things that I want to make sure that all of our parents know. And then I got another interview, my sisters.
No problem.
Forever.
No problem.
But that all parents need to know is the fact that one of the reasons why my son was successful, because we cannot tell our children just say no. We have to say just say yes to something. I kept him in everything, piano, football, baseball, basketball, track. After school programs, Upward Bound. We have to give them other positive things in their life as a substitute. I personally feel that parents should get rid of video games. They destroy the brain. My son had to read books every week. Sometimes you need to, even though you have to limit their TV time and make sure they're reading a book, read. There is no reason in this day and time that we can tolerate ignorance in our community because of YouTube, Google, and books. So if I tell parents anything, make your son or daughter read a book as a mandatory. If it is the Bible, make sure that they start reading at the age of two.
And tune in to Mom's Got Game on Saturdays on OWN TV.
And listen, and watch the Warrior Mom.
That's right.
That's right. That's your new name, Warrior Mom.
And child JaVale McGee. Mom's Got Game on the Oprah Winfrey Network every Saturday at 10. Hey, I love you guys. Thanks so
Thanks
much
for
Thank
joining
you.
Us. Thank you, Pam.
Anytime. Appreciate you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, that is an awesome conversation. You know, got to have real talk with real women on an ongoing basis, because if we're not having that level of conversation, you know, with our sons and our daughters, it makes it extremely difficult when they get to be a little bit older to try to tell them something because you were absent.
Exactly.
During the formative years. And the thing of the beauty of this show, Mom's Got Game, is that you got everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Involved.
Everyone.
Everybody's involved, and everybody knows the law that has been laid down. And, you know, be a present parent now so your kids won't look at you crazy and calling you an absentee parent later.
And what I appreciate about it, because in one of the shows when she was training the doing the interviews for the coaches, she asked one of the coaches, Jack, she said, if you're taking one of my boys, one of the boys who are playing on the AAU team, home, and their mother greets you at the door with a teddy, what do you do? And he stumbled, he baffled a little bit, and he said, well, now I'm representing the McGees, and da-da-da. So he didn't get chosen. But what I appreciate...
Yeah, the hesitation caught him.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was blinded by the teddy.
He was. He was still, like, there. But what I appreciate about the honesty of the question, because a lot of people don't ask those questions, but when you're dealing with our young men or our young girls... And you're talking about the position you might be in. What are you going to do?
Yep.
You know, and go ahead.
No, you're right. I was going to say, because what happens is you open the door. If you're open and susceptible to the things that are out there that will trap you, because, you know, we've talked a lot about spiritual things on this show, and the enemy is out there on an ongoing basis tripping you up with girls being in his room and all of these kind of things. Now, the manager and the coach is... you know, blinded by the teddy, then clearly the players are going to be blinded by whoever somebody puts in their room when they're on the road, when they're going places. And sometimes mama's got to be there to say, no, son, that ain't why we here.
Exactly. And because and what was unique about it is because you're dealing with 8, 9, and 10-year-olds and single parents. And she was one of those. So she could speak to it from a position of truth, saying, hey, this is going to happen. How do you react to it? And one of the things that I think, you know, I think Oprah is doing phenomenal things over there with her network, as is TV One, and Radio 1. But what I appreciate about this positive programming and how they're showing what I believe to be more of the norm within our communities than the abnorm, and to get back to that, is that it shows our young people that there's more to life than perhaps what you see or are exposed to. And it shows our, in this case, single parents, that here's someone who's been where you are.
Yep. And then, too, that we're not the exception to the rule.
Exactly.
That these shows are now becoming the standard within our community.
This is
that
the staple.
Are good programming, the values that are represented, the character that's portrayed, you know, the common sense thinking, you know, that is espoused is there. And it gives us an opportunity to really say, you know, the Huxtables were not just a show in the 80s.
No.
You know, this is everyday life in many communities where there are children who, whether they're from a single-parent home or a two-parent home, they're getting taught things that are needed to help them build the rungs on their ladders towards success.
Exactly. Exactly. And do it in a manner that is relatable, that is not a heavy lift, but it walks you through a scenario of accountability, values, and being very, very careful and cautious about who is in your circle of trust, so to speak. Back to Robert De Niro, but who's in your circle of what I call our personal board of directors? Who are you exposing not only yourself to, but your children to? Because I know when I've fallen short was, oh, maybe I should let them in, this, that, and the other. And it was always the wrong decision. But you get back to who's in your circle.
Yeah, and I think Pam said that best when she talked about her girlfriends on Mom's Got Game, that they've always been there. You know, we read the bio and we hear about the show that meanwhile, while Pam is managing her own life, you know, her equally fabulous girlfriends are also got sons coming up in the league. And these women, some are single moms raising their sons. And, you know, they have their own ambitions. They have their own dating lives. And together, they support one another rather than tear each other down. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the positive qualities that comes from this show. They're there to support and nurture and love rather than, you know, moan and bicker and show those levels of envy and pride and jealousy.
Yeah, we had, we've had some other shows on other networks that depicted what I consider deplorable behavior, because that doesn't represent me as an African-American woman. That's not what I want you to know about me. That's not part of my culture or being, but that's what's puffed up in society. And we always get back into that. I know we discussed it a great deal here, but, you know, the images that are thrown out to us in culture and are supposed to define us and represent us don't aspire to something better. But we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. We're back. Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We had Warrior Mom Pam McGee, and we're going to use this last few minutes just to kind of summarize. But Jackie, one of the things that I know that you've always been stalwart on with respect to our commitment in our greater community. We talk about, you know, what happens in our circles and our family homes and things of that nature, but our extended families, our extended homes, you're a living testament to that. But the importance it is, the importance of it to have that extended family, who you surround yourself with.
Extended family plays a very big part. You know, I'm a proponent. It still takes a village. I don't care what people say. I don't, you know, whatever other culture you come from, in the African American community, it still takes a village. Everything that goes on in the village, around the village, and outside the village, it takes everybody to help one person achieve the success that they need. Mm-hmm. It's funny that it works that way. No matter, we can't get away from what it means to have a cheerleader in your corner, or a support system down the road, or an individual who's on the phone or tweeting you or texting you and saying, hey, I know things are tough right now, but, you know, we're praying for you, we're rooting for you. You can be on the other side of the earth, and at the same token, you know that people are cheering and spurring you on to continue to do good, because back at home, you're a representation of what is yet still to come. You're the shining example and living witness goodness of the children who are looking to you to show them the path and the way. And it's just a part of everything that Pam was talking about, you know, watching them on Mom's Got Game and having her on the show earlier to talk about the value of the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
There's merit in that.
It is.
You know, people can say what they want to about black women and being pregnant and being single parents. They can talk all day.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we're going to do what we're supposed to do. Black women are going to get up. They're going to take care of their kids. They're going to be the business manager. They're going to be the cheerleader. They're going to be the maid, the chef. You name it. They're going to be the fashion designer. They're going to be whatever it needs to take, because at the end of the day, they are still that child's mama.
We get it done. And
oh,
and
absolutely.
We get it done. You know, like we say here, you know, your phrase is write it down. When we get it done, it's like we have to do what is necessary, because at the end of the day, I mean, at 25 years old, I'm taking a 9-month-old baby man child overseas to not only work, but to thrive and to create a life for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't happen every day.
No, because people aren't equipped to. And mm-hmm. Pam was fortunate. And for all of the people who discount the wisdom mm-hmm. of your grandmama and your great-grandmama.
Say it.
Slap yourself. I'm just going to tell you, if you listening and you didn't listen and heed the words of your mother and your grandmother or great-grandmother, you just need to slap yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason that Pam McGee is able to be where she is today and be successful is that she did not take the rearing that she received, no matter how difficult it was for her mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To have the twin girls, Pam and Paula,
mm-hmm.
she did not take that for granted. She raised them upright
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
in spite of, and then showed them how to raise their own kids upright.
Mm-hmm.
And then JaVale and Imani, they're going to see what Pam is doing, and they're going to raise their kids upright.
That's right.
That legacy is already speaking for itself. It will be the torch that just keeps on bearing,
mm-hmm.
and they've got a branch and a tree that is rooted to fruit.
Say it.
That is going to continue to do what it is destined to do.
Say
for
it.
That very reason, we cannot discount. No matter how much you didn't get along
mm-hmm.
with your grandmama and your mama,
mm-hmm.
there's some wisdom in there. You better take it for what it is and use it. Run with it and leave the rest.
Exactly. And the thing about it is, you may not understand the value of it while you're in it. But as you get older, you'll see it, you'll experience it, and you'll understand what they were talking about. Because sometimes it's like when you're driving the car for a long period of time. I know I use this example a lot, but you know, you have a, you know, going on a family trip a long way. You don't realize that it's funky until you get out the car to put gas in. Because when you're in it, you don't realize how funky it is until you get out of it. But when you hear it, Granny said something like this. What did she say? She said, mm-mm, you may not see it. I may not see it, but the Holy Spirit will see it.
Yeah.
You have to. That was powerful.
There was a powerful word that she gave related to that. You can't lie to the Holy Spirit.
You can't lie
to yourself all day.
All day. All day.
Mm-mm, can't do it.
I was like, when she said it, Jack, I was like, okay, there's a sermon coming out of that one. Because I was like, you cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. And
she does a lot of self-reflecting.
Yes.
I think that's one thing about Pam that we can say from having her on. And if you're just joining us, Conversation with Jackie and Karen, get an opportunity to listen to the first 35, 40 minutes of our show.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wisdom that she possesses now,
mm-hmm.
26 years later, after being a, you know, unwed college student, getting ready to give birth to a child, she has come and turned a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, I don't care how long it takes, need to get to that place where they can turn a corner of their past.
Exactly.
And then begin to see, even though what you thought at one time was not good for you, it has turned out to be the best blessing that you could have possibly had. And the story that she's telling now with Mom's Got Game, she is letting people know that that was then, but this is now.
And
here's what I learned in the process. And she's giving it to them every day.
She's such an evolved woman. She has evolved to this, because if you think about it, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the 80s.
Oh, I watched her.
And same here when she was with Cheryl Miller. And the thing about it is that the stigma that was attached to unwed mothers in the 80s isn't what it's like today. So for her to evolve and transcend and flourish and thrive, to evolve to this wisdom today, that took some that's a testimony. You go through some things to get to this place. And it's clear that she has, and she's evolved through the process. And it's giving you little bits and nuggets as she goes. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to more of the show. If you're just joining us, this is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We were having an amazing dialogue with Pam McGee of Mom's Got Game, gold medal winner, WNBA superstar, legacy maker, having the first WNBA-NBA relationship being touted, you know, with her son, JaVale McGee. And it is just phenomenal to see this duo do the work that they do. They are truly a team in every sense of the word. They are a team, you know, mother and son, business relationships. They are able to really see the forest through the trees.
Exactly.
And understand, you know, what's real and what's not. Mm-hmm. And then they're giving it back to the community on this amazing show on the OWN Network. And I'm excited that we had a chance to talk with her, you know, here on Radio 1 about what she's doing and to share with our listeners the value of relationships that can happen and to do good things if you just keep your mind on what's right and focused. You know, you got to stay focused.
And what I appreciate about, and it gets back into, you know, one of those things I go off topic on. I know you know what I go off topic on is, you know, the importance of, you know, no video games, read a book, have a conversation, you know, not just texting all over the place. Learn how to talk to people to, you know, and how she instilled those things in her son. I mean, it was just very uplifting. I'm still floating and inspired because Jackie, I think that today, not unlike the other shows that we've done, but it typifies why we do this show and have maintained the focus and positivity that we have is because, you know, these are role models that we're putting out to our listeners every week so they can reach higher than their circumstance and see what they may not see around.
Oh, absolutely. Because 25 years from now, this may be your testimony.
Hey.
You know, I was listening to this show with Conversation, Jackie and Karen, and Karen McGee was on there. I had no idea JaVale McGee was her son, and I had no idea that she was 25 years old in college. I had no idea that she played overseas ever before she got a contract. You just never know.
And she negotiated her own contract.
Yes,
and
she did.
She finished college. All of her sisters did, again, raised by another single parent. But she did it. She did it. She achieved it. And as she went, she developed the business acumen to continue and instill that in her son.
Oh, and let me, you know, I have to put a pin there.
Yes, yes.
This is Wildin' Out Wednesday. So let me get wild for just a second while we have a few minutes. For everybody that is going to listen to this show and say, I don't know why those two black women are holding up single parents in the African-American community, get over yourself.
Please.
We will applaud whatever needs applauding on this show if it means a word will come forth that will give another sister hope. Because at the end of the day, that's who we are and it is what we do.
That's it.
We don't bring people down. We don't talk about your past. We are talking about how you made it over your circumstance. So for all of you out there who are trying to figure it out, build a bridge and get over it.
And walk through it. Because we do every week. And we'll
every
help you.
Every single week, and yes.
We're the type, I could say, we're the type of women that you want in that foxhole with you because we will dig you out. Both of us out. That's what we do.
Exactly.
Week after week.
This has been amazing conversation today on Conversations with Jackie and Karen. I'm looking forward to next week. What are we talking about next week, Karen?
I don't know yet. We got to figure it out.
Well, you know, so much is happening in the news today. We'll just see what pops up.
Okay. Because, you know, as people know, we're totally unscripted.
Well, you know, and that is absolutely true. And you know what? We're going to get back on script because you know what?
Huh?
Okay, so we're going to get back on script because some of the things we've been talking about are fabulous and wonderful.
Huh?
But we need to get back to just a little bit of things on politics because we got some midterm elections come up.
Girl.
And I don't need people sleeping on midterms talking
Thank
about,
you.
I didn't know so-and-so was on the ballot.
Thank you.
I didn't know this is what they really believe. How come my child care was taken? How come my unemployment doesn't get there? So we want to talk about those things next week possibly that will matter
All right.
to people in their everyday community so they will have the chances.
All right.
That LaVale and Imani and Pam and all of the Klan are having.
Amen.
So we're going to make sure that you understand why it's important to be engaged in local community so that way nobody stands in your way of your rights of getting what you've got. Because as Pam has already said, Mom's got game.
Mom's got it. Take care.
Take care, dear.
We're on lunch hour. Talking about what you want to be talking about. Light fare.
With a serious spin. Whether it be sports, faith, parenting.
Balance, relationships, education, community. Coaching.
Starting over. How do you reboot yourself?
Ministry. Relevant, resonant, and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in. Ask us questions. Be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM, WOL.
Noon to 1.